Dollar Master Detective. This is the story of a man known the world over as one of the most daring and resourceful characters in the history of detective fiction. A man whose name has become a symbol of the triumph of right and justice over the sinister forces of crime and lawlessness. Nick Carter, Master Detective. Today's exciting case. Nick's search for the murderer who placed Adolf Hitler's brand on the jaw of a dead man. The body in the ice. There are many strange customs throughout the world, but perhaps the strangest is that of the Arctic Club. You've seen the Arctic Club in action in movies, newspapers, and magazines. In the dead of winter, the members don bathing suits and go for a swim. This morning, with the mercury hovering around 10 above zero, a shivering group of newspaper men gathers on the snow-crusted beach to report the strange activities of the Arctic Club.
Okay, just a few more minutes, folks. I want to line up some more pictures. Hey, will a couple of you club members grab up some of that snow and make like you're having a snowball fight?
Sure.
Hey, Joe, get a shot at that.
You ever finish a big snowball?
Yes, just throw the snow, Mr.
McGlynn. Long go, McGlynn. Move with two ends.
Yeah, just throw the snow, Mr. McGlynn.
Don't they smile like they're enjoying it?
We are enjoying it. This is the healthiest sport in the world. If more people...
Okay, Slack. Are you moving eyes for your set?
Have the one in the red suit to face the camera.
Face the camera, Mr. McGlynn.
Okay. Tell him to say something about the club. Hold the mic close up to him, Summer, will you? Yeah, give it all to Joe. You've got fur gloves on. Let's put gloves on.
Okay. Just talk into this microphole, Mr.
McGlynn. Waldo McGlynn with two ends.
Hi, everybody. Go ahead, Mr. McGlynn.
Okay. My friends and me started the Arctic Club in 1910. Now, the 50th of every month, rain or shine, we meet and take a dip in the health-giving waters of the ocean. It's easy in the summertime, but in the winter, like now, when it's below freezing, you take plenty of intentional fortitude. A daily swim in the winter is the best way to fight off cold, flu, grip, pneumonia, and...
All right,
got some.
Let's get the swimming jobs started. Mr. McGlynn.
Yes, I know. With two ends.
Yeah.
Well, if your crop is ready for the dip, we can get started now.
Okay. Come on, boys. Last one in the running. Right, Minnie.
Will you look at them idiots heading for the water? I'll have to break through the ice before they can get in.
Will you get a shot of that old goat looking at the thermometer?
Yeah.
Hey, Joe. Joe.
Yeah.
We'll have to have them guys run into the water all over again. That camera wasn't ready.
Okay.
Hey, don't call them back yet. They got to break through that ice first anyway. When they get it cleared, we'll be able
to... Holy smoke, what's happening now?
I don't know. They're going to see. Come on.
You don't think one of them's strong?
Trap them around in the ice? How?
Oh, I don't know. I was just hoping for a story.
Hey, you were in water. You better put in a call with Nick Carter. And hurry up.
Hey, what's the matter?
We just found something in the ice.
We found something in the ice.
Yeah, look.
Holy jumping. Would you look at that?
There's your story, Joe.
Frozen solid in that big hunk of ice. It's a dead body.
Carter's office, Jackie Bowen speaking.
Jackie, this is
Waldo. Oh, where are you, Waldo? You were supposed to report early this morning.
Let me talk to Nick, will you?
Just a minute. It's Waldo, Miss. He wants to talk to you.
All right. Yes, Waldo?
Nick, boy, you got to come out here right away.
Come out where?
To the Churchside Beach.
Why?
To declare my character. Not that I'm here to declare that after 30 years of honorable death.
Now, let's get this straight, Waldo. Who's throwing mud on your character?
Sergeant Mathis.
Maddie?
Yeah, and he's...
Waldo, are you mixed up in a homicide?
It's all circumstantial, Nick. It's all circumstantial. We were going in for a morning swim.
Swim?
It's sure, it was the Arctic Club.
Oh,
and then when we cleared away the ice, we found the carcass delictus in the ice.
A body in the ice?
Yeah, that's right. And when Maddie got here, he accused me of gladness there for publicity. Here's how I'm better than the Arctic Club. But, Nick, I swear...
All right, y'all, just say it. Sit tight and wait. Patsy and I'll drive right over.
That's the first time I've seen her off that mountain.
It sounds like a practical joke to me.
Me too. One of the reasons why I came out.
And now you're accusing Waldo of planning a body. It doesn't make sense.
Another reason for this trip. And
look at all those men in bathing suits.
Oh, there's Waldo. He's talking to Maddie.
Hey, close that door. You want to give us all the warning?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, had enough. We got to turn around. Nick, boy, you don't know how glad I am to see you.
Hello, Waldo. Hello, Maddie.
Hello, Nick. Hiya, Patrick.
Hello.
Say, what's all this about Waldo planning a corpse?
You're not serious about
using Waldo, guys. It's ridiculous. It's a demonstration of the stupidity of the line of operatives. I'm being framed to solve a case which, if I were on it, I could clear up in 24 hours.
All right, Waldo. You and the rest can get dressed and go on home.
You're in the clear.
Yeah, you're in the clear, Buffalo Bill.
Why?
You think I'd keep you hanging around here making phone calls if I really thought you were mixed up in this?
Huh?
I just wanted to get Nick out here.
Why, you Sergeant?
Never mind. I was afraid of that.
Why, Sergeant? That's practically blackmail.
Look, Patsy, I'd blackmail my old grandmother to get Nick out of this case. It's a stinker. Come on out to the beach and take a look at the body.
Nick? Are we going to let Maddie push us into the cave?
Oh, now, Pat,
please. Well, Maddie, since we're out here, might as well take a look. We'll be on our credit list the next time we have a run-in with Maddie's red tape. All right, this is it, Nick. We just hauled it a little way up onto the beach.
This is the body right now.
Throat and stomach and a chunk of ground ice.
What kind of ice?
Ground ice. Also known as anchorite. You can tell because it's granular, of course.
Oh.
In especially cold weather, ice sometimes forms in the bottom of the sea. It becomes thick enough to float large objects to the surface. For instance, sometimes ships that have been anchored have had their anchors float to the surface and have drifted for miles.
You mean that's what happened to this guy?
I do. His body was lying on the ocean bottom, held down by that weight around his waist.
But Rick, that means he was murdered.
Yes, of course it does. While he was on the bottom, ground ice formed and finally buoyed him up.
What do you know?
Now, let's have that big case, Matty.
Yes.
We'll crack all the ice we can off the body, melt the rest off so we can just see what happened to
him. Right here.
Our next thing. It'll be a long job, but it's going to be done. Well, Matty, there's your body. Clear enough now of what happened.
Yeah, I'll say. Hey, would you look at the right side of that guy's head?
He smashed in.
Yeah. Death must have been instantaneous. Entire temporal lobe smashed. You're broken, too.
Yeah, it must have been quite a fight.
I was very like that. What's this?
What is it?
Bruise in the side of his chin.
Oh, naturally, he must have been slugged there if his jaw was broken.
And to take a close look at that bruise.
Huh?
Yeah, it's a swastika.
That's what it is.
Why?
Evidently the impression of a ring. Maddie, will you tell me who wears a Nazi ring in this country?
Maybe an ex-soldier, civilian.
Yeah, sorry. That's right. Can't touch any pocket. Doesn't seem to be any identification on him.
Now, wait.
Here's something caught in his coat sleeve.
Huh?
It's a piece of rotten wood with a nail in it.
Probably came off the ocean bottom with him. Looks like the slant of a lobster pot to me. This is lucky.
Hey, there's letters on it.
Yeah, it's burned on pretty crudely. Evidently, the fisherman is marking his lobster pot. Let's see. There's an E.
E.
That's an L.
L, yeah.
Last two letters of a name. Then G E L. G. R. Can't make out the rest.
No.
Oh, yes. Yes, of course. Belgrade, small town about 30 miles up the coast.
You mean this coast stretches 30 miles?
I do. All right, Matty, there are your facts. Unidentified man was killed in the fight by someone wearing a Nazi ring. He was weighted down and dumped into the sea near Belgrade. Ground ice floated him up and down here. There's your case. Come on, Patsy.
Yeah. Oh, now, look, Nick, you're not walking out on me. Leaving me with this mess?
I certainly am.
But it's murder, Nick. You can't just go home and forget.
Who said anything about going home? Patsy and I are going up to Belgrade to find out who wears Nazi rings. Sheriff Lennon?
In the place, mister.
I'm Nick Carter. This is Miss Patsy Bowen, my secretary.
Carter? I don't know as how I recollect the name.
You've never met. I'm a detective.
I'd like to ask you some questions.
About what?
I think someone may be missing from Belgrade, and I think I've found him.
I'm listening.
Short man, blonde, weight about 130, blue eyes, aquiline nose, large ears, heavy lips.
You found him? That's Charlie Hall. Where is he?
In the police morgue, dead.
Dead, eh?
Murdered.
Murdered, eh? Too bad. They wondered what happened to him.
Who was he, Mr. Brennan?
Assistant in my store, at Brennan's grocery store. You can't support yourself on a sheriff's pay in Belgrade.
How long has Howell been missing, Mr. Brennan?
About 2 weeks. I thought he was out on a binge. I sent him out Friday night to make deliveries in the truck. He never showed up Saturday.
Did the truck?
Yeah. I guess he brought it back to the garage before he went, well, wherever he went.
Did it ever occur to you that the killer might have brought it back?
No. Never occurred to me Charlie was killed. He's been on his back before.
Anyone complain about non-delivery or grocery that day?
No.
Chance Howell was killed after he finished work. There's an equal chance he was killed on the job. I have a list of Howell's delivery schedule for that Friday.
Don't see why you should.
But, Mr. Gannon, this is a murder case. Sure you want to
help. Look here, ma'am, and you too, Mr. Parker.
My name is Carter. Nick Carter.
Carter. Well, as far as I'm concerned... Say, would you be any relation to old Sim Carter who broke the New England bank case?
He was my father.
Your father, eh? Well, but why didn't you say so before? Oh, glad to meet you, Carter. Shake. Well, your father was a great detective. You want Charlie's delivery schedule? Well, you get it. You get anything we got in this town.
Well, thanks. For a while, I thought all I was going to get was a cold shoulder.
It's getting dark, Nick.
Yeah?
I think it's time to snow.
Maybe.
How many more stops do we have to make?
All the schedules were 11 deliveries last Friday. We've covered 9.
Well, what's left?
Family by the name of Kane and that shooting club.
I didn't think Belgrade would have a shooting club. But the tiny little town doesn't look like a resort.
Should have said ex-shooting club. Our business today, just hanging out. Oh. Brennan said he very rarely sent anything out there.
You think Howell might have been killed at one of these blasting places?
I don't know. We found out that he made the other nine deliveries in person. Made these last two. Remember blind alley.
Someone might be lying.
Yeah, but the question is who? We don't know what route Howell took. The killer was mine. I've been the last.
That name Kane sounds suspicious. Wasn't Kane the original murderer?
Pretty far that reason, Patrick.
Wait a minute, Patrick. We're going into a crash.
Careful getting out. Another 2 feet and you hit a ditch into the gully.
Oh.
Started to
hail.
Yeah, now let's see. Both rear tires got away.
Oh.
Nice shooting. Car itself didn't damage too much, though, luckily.
Well, who's going to wreck us like this?
Someone who doesn't want the Howell case followed. I nominate the killer offhand.
The guy with the swastika ring? Well, do you think we went back and
we
could locate him?
I doubt it. That'll be gone. Too dark to look for him. On enough snow on the ground to freeze quickly. Come on.
Where'd you?
In the first warm house we find. It's going to be a freezing night. We can't sit here on a lonely back road with 2 flat tires and wait for help.
Nick, look down the road. A little to the left. I think I can see a light.
Oh, yeah, I see it. Now, that's where we were headed when we crashed the shooting club. Well, we're going to make it in half an hour.
Half an hour in this storm? Oh, I wish Waldo were here. Waldo and his optic club. He's got us into this. Looking grim. Why, too?
What's that? Pardon me, I'm Nick Carter. This is my secretary, Patsy Cohen. Our car cracked up outside and...
He didn't even notice you, Nick. He just walked by. Will one of you gentlemen be good enough to answer? Please, gentlemen. If this is a joke, we're not having any. Will you please answer? Will you at least indicate that you're alive? Will you say something? Anything!
Madam, don't shout.
Oh, laugh with boys in the silence.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you come in. I was in the rear of the club. But my name is Adams, secretary of the organization. You're the famous Nick Carter, aren't you?
Yes,
my conviction. And this lady?
That's Bond, my secretary.
What kind of a club is this, Mr. Adams? Why does everyone ignore us?
It's something of a paradox, Miss Bowen. It's a new idea, recently formulated. This is a club for anti-social men.
Anti-social, huh? It formed a club.
Precisely. All our members are men who desire the sporting advantages of a club, but feel it a social drawback. They formed this organization for that purpose. There's a strict club rule against all conversation, laughter, entertainment, women.
Why, well, object to that?
And I'm sorry to say, against visitors.
What?
I shall have to ask you to leave, Mr. Carter.
But dear Adams, I came here to ask you some questions.
If you will make an appointment for tomorrow, I shall be happy to meet you in Belgrade. You must leave now.
But can you at least lend us a car? Or is it smashed?
Sorry.
May we telephone for help?
There is no telephone. This way out, Mr. Carter.
What a mean thing.
I'm sure you understand my decision. Good night, Mr. Carter and Miss Bowen.
This doesn't beat anything I've ever heard of.
Oh.
What do we do now?
Walk.
We need to dance.
No, we won't. Look up there.
Up where?
At the corner of the clubhouse.
Are those telephone wires?
They are. And Hunch Adams is lying about the phone. I know he was lying about the rest. Quick now. Better knock around the back of the house.
Well, Nick, what are you talking about?
Howell Burns was killed here.
How do you know?
One of those so-called antisocial club members was wearing a swastika ring.
Are you sure?
There's a man in the shooting jacket who passed that.
Guy.
Careful now. This looks like the back door that leads into the clubhouse now. Try to keep
our conscience. Why that story about antisocial men?
To cover the fact that the man we saw can't speak English.
Huh?
Marshal. Careful now. Yes. The back cellar. Hold the door.
Quiet. Nick, why can't they speak English?
Because they're Nazis. Probably escaped D.W. friends of the war.
I congratulate you, Mr. Carter.
Nick,
that's
Adams.
Don't go. Please raise your hands. I assume you're armed, Mr. Carter. If you reach your gun, I shall shoot the girl.
Our hands are up, Adams. Take that flashlight out of our eyes.
Your deductions were correct. I had very little hope that my hastily concocted story would fool you. That's why I waited here for your second visit.
Thanks for the hospitality.
I had hoped you would be killed in the crash when I shot out your tires. It's unfortunate you are not.
I don't think so.
But I do, Miss Bowen. You see, I'm afraid I shall have to kill both of you all over again.
It's getting light out, Nick. What time is it?
6 o'clock.
We've been locked up here all night. The idea. Adam said he was going to kill us, didn't he?
Yes.
So why wait? What is this? Refined Nazi torture?
I don't know.
Oh, Nick. Isn't there some way out of this mess?
Probably. Just gotta find it.
Close the door. I think this is it, Nick.
Please remain seated. Many years' experience has taught me how to carry a loaded tray in one hand. So convenient when one must carry a loaded gun in the other. There we are. Breakfast.
Thanks. We're not hungry.
I assure you, the food is not poison.
Look here, Adams. What's the game you're playing? You've been threatening murder. Why delay?
We're in an extraordinary position, Mr. Carter. As you've already guessed, this is a depot for escaped prisoners of war.
Go on.
An intense debate is in progress downstairs. The opinion is divided. One school of thought advocates your death immediately.
Yes?
A spirited opposition wishes to use you as hostages to ensure safe transport back to the mother country.
You haven't made up your minds yet?
Not yet. Mine's going down now. I shall presently return with a final verdict. In the meantime, I would suggest you have breakfast.
Thanks. There's only one thing wrong with this meal, Adams. No cigarettes.
Very well. You may have my pack. Here.
Thank you.
And be sure to save the last two for the execution.
Hi, Glenn. smoke.
I've got them for you.
I don't smoke either.
Well, you're going to now. Right upstairs. Start smoking.
Start smoking? But why?
I'll show you why later. Just smoke as fast as you can and make sure you save all the ashes. Put them on this plate.
Right, if you say so, I'll try.
Oh, nice going,
Bessie.
Now, get this
window
open.
A window? 30 feet above ground, we can't jump. There's no way to climb down.
Now, that's for those telephone wires. See them? They're strung to the house just alongside our window.
I got him.
Good. Now, Adam's left me my pocket knife. It'll scrape the insulation off these wires.
What good will that do?
Whether there's a phone on this line or not, it's connected to the set and locked. And every time we cut these two bare wires together, we complete the circuit. The light flashes on the telephone switchboard. You can send the operator a code signal by means of those flashes.
I get it.
There, now. Now, let's set that. Yes.
News.
The gentlemen below have reached a decision.
And what did they decide?
After 30 minutes spirit of debating, it has been decided to kill you at once.
Thanks.
The gentlemen are waiting in the cellar. Take place there. The graves are being dug now.
I more or less expected it. Well, Mr. Adams, I've taken your advice. It is my last cigarette. Save for the execution.
I'm so happy you received the news with equanimity, Mr. Carter. I assure you that I...
Now, got his jump. Come on, Patsy. Right. Get him to the dock cold. Now's the time for us to duplicate the process. While his gentle playmates are digging our graves in the cellar, we're going out into the cold world. All right. All right. Let's stop here, the brush. Get organized, Patsy.
Oh, okay, Nick.
Now, look, we're out of the house. We're not out of danger yet. We've only got one gun. There are at least 12 men with a whole arsenal.
Well, what do we do?
Keep moving. We've got to play cat and mouse with them until there's some response to our SOS. We can't let these Nazis kill us, but we can't lose contact with them. We've got to hold on and wait for reinforcements.
Well, how do we play cat and mouse?
The sleet storm has left enough half-frozen slush on the ground for a footprint. So we're going to leave a trail they can follow. Come on.
Will they follow us?
They'll follow, all right. Why I didn't take Adams with us. I want him to lead the chase.
Which way are you going to let them chase us?
Heading back to our car.
What good will that do?
Worst comes to worst, and help them get her in time. We'll try to make it run on two flat tires. Start back to town.
What's that?
Gunshot. They're following us, all right? Keep moving.
Oh, Nick, I can see them behind us, way back at the house. They're walking along the line like Indians.
Yes. They're clever, all right. Dressed up in hunting clothes, carrying rifles. They look like a shooting line after pheasant or rabbit. Fast, Pepper.
Are they, Nick?
Yes. In case anyone happens to pass on the road, they won't think anything's amiss. They won't realize human beings are being hunted. Just think a party of hunters are out after game.
Oh, Dolly, but it's a mess.
Now, come on. Through this clump of woods.
All right.
I don't think they've spotted us yet. They're just shooting to set the scene.
They won't miss our trail.
No.
How come we want to catch sight of us?
I don't know, Patsy.
Sheriff Fenton, where are you? Sheriff Fenton, this is Patsy calling. Please, hurry up.
All right, Patsy, save your breath. Come on.
I see our car.
So do I. I also think Adam's gang has seen us. Yes, they spotted us. Those bullets are headed our way.
Oh, now what?
Keep running. We've got to reach the car.
Oh, I'll never make it, Nick.
You can try, Patsy.
Oh, all of those folks. We're killed, I'll never forgive him.
We're killed? You want our chance? Wait. Okay.
Nick!
Police, sir. That's Lennon coming.
Nick, we're saved by the Marines.
Not yet, Patsy. Grandma passed right by on the road unless we signal to him. I won't realize we're being hunted.
How do we signal?
Hey, wait. I'll have to sacrifice the car. It's a long pistol shot, but I think I can make it.
What are you going to do?
Put a bullet into the gas tank of our car. That'll start a blaze. Lennon won't be able to get the car. Stand by, Patsy.
reinforcements we need, Patsy. Adams Club members are really going to be antisocial from now on. Back in a prisoner of war camp.
Sorry you won't borrow a car to get home, Mr. Carter. Don't seem right letting old Sim Carter's son take a train.
Well, that's quite all right, Lennon. Thanks anyway for the offer.
Mighty nice of you giving me all the credit for grabbing that gang of PWs.
Well, you deserve it. You got your whole case cold. Charlie Howell evidently heard some of the Nazi gab when he was making his last delivery to the club. Got suspicious and snooped before he drove away. Then was discovered, put up a fight, and was killed. Adams dumped his body in Belgrade Bay when he drove the truck back to the garage.
But what about Adams shooting at our contact? How do you know we were coming?
I'll bet the Adams must have been in Mr. Glennon's grocery store when we were going over Howell's delivery schedule.
Uh-huh.
Realized we were on the trail and tried to stop us.
Well, he sure didn't, Mr. Carter. And you sure put the sheriff of Belgrade on the map.
Well, as far as that goes, Patsy and I might have been off the map permanently. You hadn't answered my SOS the instant the phone company reported it.
Well, what happened back at the country club?
How did you get away from Adams? Oh, that. Why, Patsy was the one who put Adams out of the way.
By smoking 11 cigarettes in half an hour.
Oh, that don't make sense, Nick.
Well, it was an old trick my father taught me. I took the ashes from the cigarettes Patsy smoked and packed them into an empty paper cigarette tube. And then when I pretended to start smoking my last execution cigarette, I simply blew the ashes directly into Adam's eye. That blinded him so I could take his gun away and knock him out.
So that was it.
What a boss to work for, Sheriff Glennon. A trick in every pocket and 100 up his sleeve.
Mr. Carter, I got an apology to make to you. I once said you were the son of the famous Sim Carter. Well, I take it back. Jim Carter's the father of the famous Nick Carter.
Well, Nick, how about a little preview of next week's story? What?